Hi. Sorry, I usually just jump into bodies of water. Hi, my name is Martin. For me, growing up with me and my family, we were what I would consider Christmas and Easter Catholics, really, is what we grew up. And we were the kind of Catholics where I would do anything and everything to make our family late to church so that we get to stand in the back because all the seats were filled up. And when you sit in the back, that means you don't need to pay attention as much. The first thought that I had in my childhood that bared any theological weight was when I asked my dad, what happens when you die? And my dad, to his knowledge, explained to me that if you do good deeds, you get to go to heaven and live with God forever. And the phrase that caught my mind wasn't living with God, but it was the word forever. And I had neglected who God was at that point in time. And the only thing I could latch onto for the rest of my childhood was what forever really meant. And it was that word that scared me into thinking what I should do for this life. And through that time, I tried to live my life in a way that seemed to be good according to my standards. I began attending church in high school through the invite of a close friend. I thought that this merely meant to reinforce a dogmatic life that I had been living, that it was simply a way to identify the way of life that I myself had come up with in my own convictions, my own ideologies, essentially following a version of God that I had created. I never quite understood the weight of my sin, and I always loved the idea when it was taught about God's grace and mercy. I loved what it meant, but I never considered the terrifying thought that I myself am desperately in need of something like grace and mercy. To be more specific, the idea that I was born a sinner, I will continue to sin, and there is absolutely nothing that I can humanly do about that. As I began studying the Bible, I came across passages, specifically in Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus explained that not everyone says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. And it was at that moment that I realized that there's something much more terrifying going on in my life, that I had been calling Jesus Lord in my life, but he was not Lord of my life. At that point, I realized that what I needed most was not an outline for life. It wasn't a way to live, but it was simply forgiveness. I realized that forgiveness was only made possible by what God had done through Christ on the cross, and I only learned this by understanding what the Bible was teaching. At that point in time, I started to read books, which to me was unimaginable since the time that I spark-noted books for high school because I didn't want to read any of the summer assignments. Who said, "What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you." And I never thought about that because I always thought that what I did and what I thought defined who I was and that what was important about me was the things that I said out of my own mouth. But then I realized that the things that I say out of my own mouth are sinful and the heart is wicked of mankind. Since then, I grew to understand exactly how deep the words of Paul were spoken when he said, "God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I never wanted to be a sinner, but yet here I was. And it was only because of Christ that I could understand what it means to live life as a Christian. I know that being a Christian doesn't mean that we have attained perfection, nor that we will never sin, only that we have the utmost confidence that Christ will perfect the work that he started in me. And now when I think about the forever that my dad spoke to me of, it's no longer an uncertain anxiety, but it's an eager security. Thank you.